Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anshulila 1, text 20. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya.
Let me make that sound a little bit better.
Hi Krishna, are people there?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah, what happened is I was talking, and then I got a phone call from Mahamuni, and I thought that...
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
He said, when the class is. Everyone was hearing me, right?
No.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me now, right? Okay.
Yeah, but nothing before.
So I was explaining that concept that when there's shallow formulas, we sometimes find impossible contradictions in the philosophy that we don't resolve and therefore are forced to make limited choices. For example, humility and confidence, self-confidence or self-esteem. We feel we don't understand how we can apply it, and we don't understand how we can apply humility in a way that's consistent with self-esteem, consistent with humility. Then you make the improper choices, or conformity and creativity. We discussed that, and self-sacrifice and self-care. I gave the example of the classic paradox, water, water everywhere, but not to drop the drink. So if you have a shallow conception of water, and someone asked you to bring water, you may bring them a cup of water from the Dead Sea. You know, not understanding the touch or depth of understanding of water, that it may be mixed with things, that there's pure water. So it was a very, very interesting subject and very, very well received. And besides people who were devotees, there was about 40 people there. I don't charge, but the studio obviously has to, and they also give a generous donation. But it was so edifying, and everyone deeply, deeply chanted the holy name. So I've been busy since I got back, just traveling to different places. I'll post that on my website and Facebook page that Brij Kishore has very, very soon. You may like to hear it. Okay. And I'm really excited to be back steadily on these classes. Somehow the times and the life is a little bit more easy to give it from America. Where actually I'm definitely less busy than in India. So we're back to this Anshulila, which is kind of exciting for me, to discuss a little bit about Prayojana Tattva, the science of the goal. And what is the goal? The goal is the experience of the absolute reality, unfettered by, unfiltered by the skewing of the mind, basically. It's our pure experience of God, which is our love for God. And it's an overwhelming experience. It is rasa. Rasa means an ecstatic experience that is an overwhelming experience, sometimes called an aesthetic experience. But the aesthetic that one is experiencing is bhakti. which according to Vaishnav philosophy is the experience of reality. Reality is an aesthetic experience. So it's kind of nice to discuss it. But in discussing it, one is also discussing the qualifications for it. Sadhana or practice means having a fixed goal. But it also means to understand where one is situated in relationship to the goal, how one practices to attain the goal, and then ultimately what the experience of that goal is. So this is the Antya-lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself wants to experience the ultimate reality, which is himself from the perspective of his devotee. And he's trying to achieve that. Because God has an experience of reality from the experience of God, which is the object of devotion. But he wants to experience it from the perspective of the devotee, which is the subject of devotion. And the subject of devotion he wants to follow. And follow means to have the same feelings of. Is Sri Radha, who is the Purna Shakti, the embodiment of love, the full capacity of love, the Mahabhav Surudini, the love of God heightened to the highest degree. So the story begins with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returning after his travels in South India. And now he's 30 years old. He only has 18 more years left to live. Prabhupada often quotes also that Shankaracharya didn't live very long, and then Lord Chaitanya didn't live very long, and that long life is not the qualification for a accomplished or perfected life. The intensity of your endeavor. And then sometimes I'm thinking, I'm past 61, when do I surrender? When do I give myself fully? When do I enter into the path of bhakti? Paripatena, full. Full. That's bhakti. That's bhakti. So it doesn't take age. If you think it takes age, then you never do it. Because you think, oh, I'll do it when I'm older. It doesn't. You can't surrender in the past. You can't surrender in the future. You have to surrender now. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is fully surrendered to his guru. Values what he got, values what he got from his guru, and therefore fully opens his heart to the guru and the instructions of the guru, which is the understanding of the goal of prema bhakti through the medium of nam kirtan. Of course, in the association of exalted Vaishnavas. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now coming back to Puri to really settle. I was thinking that the morning myself, you know, I'm really kind of traveling every day, kind of different places, and the opportunities are there to meet people. And there's a strike when the iron's hot idea. One very nice person, a lawyer from New York in India, and he came to the program on Thursday, and then he came over to Amir's with another lady that was on the program to take lunch. So whether it's lectures or just meeting with people, there's such an interest in spirituality like I never seen before. But I also understand one sense that, you know, the traveling, Chanakya Pandit says traveling makes a man old. It's also not the best thing for intensive spiritual concentration in sadhana and studies. So I thought this morning, wow, you really have to weigh things. Dharma. Dharma is not an easy thing to decide. What is my dharma? Of course, you know, Prabhupada's mission in preaching, and then the balance between tasting it and distributing it. I can see the effect coming back from Vrindavan and having that level of absorption. And then sharing that, not just sharing words, but sharing your heart as expressed through word, people. That's more powerful. So, I'm just explaining personally what I'm thinking, but Lord Chaitanya, he made his decision and he's settling in Puri. He traveled around South India. So, actually, 18 years is what, no? It's a little bit more compared to his life. But even the first 6 years, more with the devotees, and then the last 12 years, going increasingly more and more into Nirjan Bhajan. And to distinguish, what do you do for service and what do you do for ego, even in the name of service? To really have an objective view of one's life so that one's attachments don't skew one's perception and one's decisions. This is what I'm thinking now. Therefore, in spiritual life, whether from one side to another side, it's always good to have consultation of peers and seniors who are making decisions, who are advising you, but not based on your own attachments. And perhaps in a more objective way than we ourselves can make decisions on our life. Of course, the decisions we make on our life, also we have an advantage too, in the sense that, you know, if we're sincere and honest, we have the frame of reference in our life. And perhaps we can make a more objective decision or contribute more to the directions of our life because we're the ones with the frame of reference and the experience to apply those principles. Not many people are privy to our history and our experience. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now headed from Vrindavan. He's gone back to Puri. The residents, Sukh Damodar informs the residents of Bengal. I think about 200 of them. Chaitanya's mission is not so good yet, but 200 of them head to Vrindavan. And as we discussed, it's a very interesting story. We discussed that bhakti means dedication, so whatever you have, you give to God. And a lot of times, the things that you are attached to most, you can do with the most love, actually, in one sense, in terms of an offering. Because you can do it expertly, and you also value it. So Shivananda Sena is a man of the world, at least externally, and he's organizing the yatra. We can get into his mind how expert he must have been, a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, the manager. You can get into his mind and try to understand what was the consciousness by which he was managing. What was the consciousness by which he was managing? And the nature of a devotee and a kshatriya is to give shelter to whomever seeks that shelter. Therefore, the kshatriyas were sometimes in a quandary when a lady would come to them for shelter, and they would maybe marry many wives. It was hard for them to refuse people who legitimately seek shelter. We can't understand sometimes what is a kshatriya above. I've met kshatriyas in India, and the extent of duty, especially in relationship to the care they give for people who seek their protection and care. And the kshatriyas feel less pain in dying than in not executing their duty. It's a nature. It comes from many, many lifetimes. And it's fortified within the lifetime they live, by the family they're born, by the culture they're in, by the training. Some scars, impression. Be honest. Truth is more important than anything else. I've seen people in India. The first principle of the Gurukul, not exactly the first, but the one before myself, but one of the earliest, was Dr. Omkarnath Sharma from a different era. If he made a vow, it was like lines in a stone. It's not rationalization. It's just a samskara. Their value of truth and their aversion to untruth have impressions in the consciousness that are so powerful that there's nothing too difficult in the execution of their duty. Can we say that about ourselves? Can I say that about myself? Maybe there's something else that can sway us from our duty. Perhaps our desire for popularity. Perhaps our fear of life, our fear of retribution. Our fear of social scorn, our desire for sense gratification. It's all going to stem down to the size of the impressions in your consciousness. But noble people have huge impressions that are fortified to be honest follow truth. One day when Shivananda was detained by a salt pole man, servant forgot to give the dog cooked rice. Satyachi Shivananda Bojane Kali Kukara Panache Bhati Shevake Shri. At night when Shivananda Sena returned and was taking his meal, inquired from the servant whether the dog had gotten its meal. The dog took shelter. Its impression in the consciousness is, this is my responsibility. Kukera nahi paya bhatishuna dikihai. Kukera chaisite dase manusha patai. When he learned that the dog had not been supplied food in his absence, he was very unhappy. He then immediately sent 10 men to find the dog. Chayana paila kuka lokishaba ay dikihaya Shivananda upavase kar. When the men returned without success, Shivananda Sena became very unhappy and fasted for the night. That's his nature. Now they just take responsibility. But if one cannot meet one's responsibilities for whatever reason, one is unhappy. Dukhi hoya and upavasa kar. These are the fast. They're so serious. It's wonderful. Where are these people going to be trained today? As we're reading in the Mahabharata. And I've seen people like that in India, 30 years ago. It wasn't such an uncommon occurrence that Dr. Sharma, I just remember the story, when he was a young man, his son left home, his wife died out of heartbreak of separation, the only son. And Dr. Sharma vowed, I will not come home. Will not take any sweets, any type of sugar, sweetener, no type of grains or nuts. Won't take any type of oils. Until my son returns. I met him 40, 50 years later. He followed. Because he gave his word. When you have attachment to your word, how much discipline can one happen? Because he just has to verbalize it. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're seeing extraordinary personalities from a different time. Prabhate kukara chai kamhena paila chakala vaishnavera mane chatnakara hoya. In the morning, they looked for the dog, but when it could not be found anywhere, all the Vaishnavas were astonished. Purport. Shivananda Sen's attachment to the dog was a great boon for the animal. The dog appears to have been a street dog, since it naturally began to follow Shivananda Sena when he was going to Jagannath Puri with his party. Accepted to his party and maintained it the same way he's maintaining the other devotees. He gives me a sampane, brahmani gavi haishtini, suni chaiva, swapake cha, pandita. Pandita, sama, darshana. Sees equally. Not always relating equally, But in this case, according to the dog's needs, he didn't give the dog the rasputage. He was maintaining him. It appears that although on one occasion the dog was not allowed aboard a boat, Shivanandas did not leave the dog behind, but paid more money just to induce the boatman to take the dog across the river. Then when the servant forgot to feed the dog and the dog disappeared, Shivananda, being very anxious, sent 10 men to find it. When they could not find it, Shivananda observed the fast. Thus it appeared that somehow or other Shivananda Sena had become attached to the dog. As will be evident from the following verse, the dog got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Was immediately promoted to Vaikuntha to become an eternal devotee. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is therefore sung, Tumita Thakura Pramara Kukera Balia Janaha More Sharanagati 19, thus offers to become the dog of a Vaishnava. There are many other instances in which the pet animal of a Vaishnava was delivered back home to Vaikuntha Loka, back to Godhead. Such is the benefit of somehow or other becoming the favorite of a Vaishnava. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also sung, Kita Janma Hua Yatai Tua Da. There's no harm in taking birth again and again. Our only desire should be to take birth under the care of a Vaishnava. Fortunately, we had the opportunity to be born of a Vaishnava father who took care of us nicely. He prayed to Srimati Radharani that in the future we'd become a servant of the eternal consort of Sri Krishna. That somehow or other we are now engaged in that service. We may conclude that even as dogs, we must take shelter of a Vaishnava. The benefit will be the same as that which accrues to an advanced devotee under a Vaishnava's care. I like this particular thing because I remember there was a paper that Prabhupada was in Sakuras, which well argued, and then I wrote a response to the paper that brought up two questions, whether to what extent such a topic which should be mulled over publicly, considering that different great Vaishnavas who appear to be realized on different levels have different opinions on the subject. And the second point I made is that if you take out isolated quotes, it doesn't appear to be definitive. So I remember I used this quote. The prophet said his father prayed to Srimati Radharani that in the future we would become a servant of the eternal consort of Sri Krishna. That somehow or other we are now engaged in that service. So that's substantial. And if it can be looked in another way, then other quotes saying opposite things or hinting opposite things can be looked in another way. We may conclude that even as dogs, we must take shelter of Vaishnava. It's the same point that bhakti mostly is about mercy. And the receptacle, the consciousness of to make one's mind a receptacle towards mercy is called humility. So Vaishnavism means humility. And different people have different levels of karma. And therefore, they have different levels of control of the senses. They have different levels of control of the mind. But ultimately, it's one's sincerity. Sincerity will be demonstrated by taking shelter of a Vaishnava. And the principle, both spiritually and psychologically, is if one takes shelter of a Vaishnava, then what is in that Vaishnava's heart comes to one. And it's interesting that the Antya Lila starts with this story. Of a dog, which will achieve perfection. Utkantaya chali shabde aila nilachale purvavat mahapu milile shakale. Thus in great anxiety they all walked to Jagannath Puri. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them as usual. Shabaloya Koya Jagannatha Darsana, Shabaloya Mahaprabhu Karina Bojana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went with them to see the Lord in the temple, and on that day he also took lunch in the company of those devotees. Purva Vatsa Bari Prabhu Patila Vaishishtan, Prabhutane Pratakale Aila Aradina. As previously, the Lord provided them all with residential quarters. And the next morning, all the devotees came to see the Lord. And all the devotees came to the place of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They saw the same dog sitting a little apart from the Lord. Pushara Kele Shasha Dini Kelana Rama Krishna Hari Kohe Balena Hasya. Furthermore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing remnants of green coconut pulp to the dog. Smiling in his own way, he was thus saying to the dog, chant the holy names Rama Krishna Hari. Krishna kahi kukara, Krishna kahi bara bara, ekhi alo kera mane, hoila chamatara. Seeing the dog eating the coconut pulp and chanting Krishna, Krishna again and again, all the devotees present were very surprised. Shivananda kukara teke, dandavat koila, danye kare nija apara, nishamoila. And he saw the dog sitting in that way and chanting the name of Krishna. Shivananda, because of his natural humility, offered his obeisances to the dog just to counteract his offenses to it. So he has a bhav of devotion. It makes one very, very humble and service mood. And therefore, in a sense of responsibility, in that sense of responsibility for others. If one is proud, one doesn't hold oneself responsible because one thinks one has a strong sense of entitlement. Therefore, in this very high consciousness, he asked to be forgiven for the offenses. So it's a sensitivity that comes with purity. When you're pure, you can see faults greater than when you're impure. Because when you're impure, there's no contrast between your faults and your consciousness. So another fault comes, it's not apparent, because you're already filled with faults and don't realize them. When you're very, very pure and free from faults, then even the apparent fault appears to stain the consciousness. It becomes apparent. So you see that people are very advanced. They're very liberal in terms of accepting responsibility for any harm that they may have done. This is very natural. It's a vision from the heart which is very, very spiritual and very, very healthy. It may not be logical. Was it really his fault? He did his best. So this is not a platform of analysis. This is a platform of feeling from someone who is living in the sacred space of the soul, which is overwhelmed, which overwhelms one with a state of great gratitude, responsibility, humility, and things like this. Aradina kohitara deka napaya siddeha ekukara vaikunte tegela. The next day, no one saw that dog, for it had obtained its spiritual body and departed from Vaikuntha, the spiritual kingdom. This is the result of Sadhu Sangha, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Magyar Lila 2283. Consequent association with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and promotion back home, back to Godhead. This is the result. Sadhu Sangha, back to Godhead. This result is possible even for a dog by the mercy of the Vaishnava. Therefore, everyone in the human form of life should be induced to associate with devotees. By rendering a little service, even by eating prasadam, what to speak of chanting and dancing, everyone can be promoted to Vaikuntha. It is therefore requested that all our devotees in the ISKCON community become pure Vaishnavas, so that by their mercy, all the people of the world be transferred to Vaikuntha, even without their knowledge. Everyone should be given a chance to take the prasadam and thus be induced to chant the names of Hare Krishna and also dance in ecstasy. By these three processes, although performed without knowledge or education, even an animal went back to Godhead, chanting, dancing, and feasting, and taking prasadam. If one's innocent, they'll affect one's consciousness, even if one is not cognizant of the potency and benefit of those things. That's the nature of spiritual phenomena. Are there any questions? I think I should stop for now. Anybody have any questions?
Maharaj?
Yeah, Mooney.
Maharaj? I'm in a position where I can't talk for 2 minutes. I'm kind of doing an errand, but I want to get in line if that's okay. I'll be back in 2 minutes. I apologize.
Okay, we'll be back in. Okay.
But I want to get in the queue if you don't mind. Thank you.
Okay. But the point is, if there's no queue, then you're at the front of the line. But anyway, anybody else like to ask a question or even say hello?
Can I come in the front of the line?
Gail, you are in the front of the line. Mahamuni just went out to run an errand.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to ask you about, two things, but your use of the word aesthetic in describing bhakti is an aesthetic experience, because that word I usually, associate with, artistic, I didn't understand the use of the word in connection with bhakti.
Well, it's generally connected with art, right?
Yeah.
But in what way? That the art communicates to you some type of emotion. Right? You should, you look at a piece of art and it should be something tragic, some jubilee, something happy, something romantic, maybe some chivalry. So good art should
evoke emotion,
but if it's really powerful, it should evoke emotion that not only allows one to transcend time and space, but more important, identity, false identity. and there's an experience that one has. If it's really powerful art, then the experience also could kind of from that platform affect your perception of the world and see kind of some unity or spirituality in it. Anyway, that's the basic concept of aesthetics. So Rupa Goswami says that bhakti is also an aesthetic in the sense that it's an overwhelming emotion. It's an overwhelming experience. And therefore, Sandhi Rasa is described as an aesthetic experience. But what is the medium by which that aesthetic experience is experienced? It's through the beauty of God, the beauty of reality, invokes an emotion. So the reality itself is an aesthetic. It's aesthetic, let's put it that way. Reality is a beautiful thing. And reality communicates the experience of bhakti. So bhakti is therefore an aesthetic experience. It's the experience of appreciation of reality. Now, it's also an aesthetic experience because that experience of reality is best expressed through poetry and art, especially poetry and drama. Drama being visible poetry, sometimes call it like that, and poetry, you know, kind of. Audible poetry that way. I'm trying to remember something, I can't remember it. But anyway, have an aesthetic experience when it's also recreated. But you also have an aesthetic experience when you approach it directly. That help you, Gail?
Yeah, it's helpful. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. Your next question?
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My name is back. Okay.
No, please,
thank
no,
you.
Please, Gail. I'm sorry. I didn't.
No,
I was
good.
Unmuting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Maharaj, I typically drink.
Can you hear me, Maharaj?
Oh.
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, who is that?
This is Chaitanya Priya. I have a question.
Okay, what's your question?
I'd like you to comment further about the statement that you made about the science of God, the Prayajana Tattva that you started speaking about, meaning having an experience of the absolute reality, unfettered by the mind.
Yeah.
That last piece really holds my attention and has been for a very long time, the understanding of the mind and how to control the mind and bring it into the service of God as opposed to it taking you away from it. You know, it is the thing that is the challenge for most of all of us, really, for just being able to chant clearly. Do you comment on that?
Yeah, well, the experience, you know, the best we can do to experience reality unfettered by the mind is hear about reality from those sources who have experienced it directly and hear about it with faith. And that's what the nature of faith is. It allows you to trust an experience beyond what you are perceiving in the conditioned state. So it allows you to at least theoretically understand, perhaps apply, perhaps experience. And faith comes from hearing. So faith comes from hearing. You're hearing about things from the source that we trust. At the same time, because even that we can skew with the mind, we're thoughtful, and when things don't make sense, we raise our doubts. So first we have to have a theoretical conception, and then we can apply it and gradually realize it. And it says it's more difficult to control the mind than the raging wind. So it says it is possible by constant practice and detachment. And we have to also be cognizant of how long we have been in material world and conditioning. And if the successes are not to the degree we want, it's also understandable to a certain degree because of the karma that we're dealing with and the situations we're dealing with. But if we respond to them in an appropriate way, by accepting our responsibilities and duty and accepting our fate and a humble mood, then a lot of realization does come that changes our consciousness. Does that help, Chaitanya Priya?
It does, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Malik.
Maj?
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask that question now, or put that?
Yeah, ask that question now.
The discussion of Shivananda Sena and his dog, I thought,
yeah,
seemed to me, and I wanted to ask you what you think about this. It seemed to me that it was a good illustration of the principle that you talked about in the beginning of class. And I say, like in my own life, before I became a devotee, I was not an animal person, but I was just kind of neutral. They're fun, whatever. They're nice to be around. But for whatever reason, as a young devotee, I was so kind of, I just had this idea that a Brahmin is clean and animals aren't clean or something. And so I feel like in retrospect, it was like fossilizing this truth, you know, like, okay, they're not clean. That's kind of fixed within a larger understanding of Vaishnavism. And without that, you just end up becoming someone who doesn't care for these living beings. And I guess what I'm asking is, you were talking about the way in which we can't let these teachings come frozen, like these kind of frozen doctrines. Do you think that a big part of listening to scripture is finding a way to kind of keep these teachings alive and allow us to see with more depth how they fit in with each other? Does that make sense, the question? Like, do you think that's what hearing a chanting does?
I think that is what Scripture's about. I think what Scripture's about is to give you depth and understanding. As Prabhupada said, discussing this from different angles. So what's the depth of the principle here of Brahmanism and cleanliness, you know? It's certainly a truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's certainly a truth, but it's a fact that we tend to make truth passions. By the way, I put the tape on, but the class went extremely well.
Good.
On Sunday. I mean, and it was an incredible turnout because you get 40 people in New York paying for a lecture. It's pretty good.
Good news.
Just hold a concept, it really takes some depth and reflection, otherwise you'll get it wrong. And it is kind of challenging. And the purpose of Shastra, really, when people actually have assimilated Shastra, they'll find their balance, actually. You know? And they may be conservative on an unpopular issue, and they can be liberal on an unpopular issue, too, because it's independent of your particular proclivity to, you know, mold things by the past to an extent that you can't change the package for the future or your propensity to change things, so you have no respect for the past. It really goes beyond those kind of psychological prejudices. And I do find that that actually is the purpose of Shastra. And when I see people that I consider elevated, you know, you cannot put them in a box of liberal or conservative. You know, they can be very, you know, strict. And they can be very liberal. Because the application of the Shastra applies for both. And I find that those people who are liberal or those people who are conservative, you know, they're still filtering things through the prejudices of mind, you know, and really have not immersed themselves deeply in Shastra. Because I think when you do, you know, you think very, very independently. Independently means you can apply the principles in different circumstances. Like this dog one, you know. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, 20 years ago, a cat jumped on my lap and I felt like jumping into Jamuna. You know, so, yeah, and then you hear the Shivananda Sena story, you don't want to hear about it, you know, because it doesn't kind of coincide with how you're living, you know. Mm-hmm. But it does indicate an extraordinary, even in that contest in the context of the Shivananda Sena story, I think even in the context of the people at the time, they were surprised. So here was an example of a story, again, that set up the contradiction, the paradox, you know, a Vaishnav is clean, a Vaishnav loves his dog, you know, to give shelter
and these
to the
dogs,
dog.
And the dogs in the street of India are not like grandma's, Labrador. I mean, these are gross dogs. You know, it's like in America we have an idea of dogs as house pets, but you see, you see dogs living in the street. You can see what a kind of remarkable act it was for him to take this dog on.
Well, I have to say the dogs in Vrindavan are the coolest dogs. They know how to hang out. The way they kind of put one paw over the other, and but yeah, so yeah, again, it's the same concept, you know. Or I think this is what Shastra is driving you. What's the further understanding of this, you know? You know, maybe, you know, the further understanding is, yeah, there's something external in terms of the mode of goodness and cleanliness, but don't forget the internal, that that's a soul equal to your soul, right? That also deserves compassion in the appropriate way. And the dog is taking shelter of our parikram. You know, it's not an ordinary thing. Yeah, I think it's a good example of that.
Marj, it also, I was also struck by the way in which, I don't know, I find personally, I know a tendency I have is to kind of choose my groups and say, okay, this group is the one I care about. And maybe not explicitly, but then it's kind of a relief now because I can care about this group, but then that other group I can either just not care about or see as the bad guy. And I think that it was just kind of remarkable to me how, like the story of Shivananda Sena illustrates that, you know, a Vaishnava is not going to make those kind of distinctions. I don't know. Forgive me. It's not even a question as much as just kind of throwing it out there that I thought that was really powerful.
It is powerful. It is powerful. You know, I think it just, you know, it kind of, it brings the understanding deeper. Yes, there's something external, but there's something internal. Don't forget that what internal, you know, hut, throw the rock at the dog. Wait a second, it's also a spirit soul, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And the same, and if there's chance for elevation, one must give shelter. It's interesting, but I guess it illustrates. You go ahead.
No, please.
No. Say, what were you going to say?
No. I thought you were finished. I'd rather listen to what you were saying.
No, yeah, I'll go with.
Well, I was just going to say thank you and say in parting. Confucius had a really cool maxim that you made me think of in what you were saying before about conservative and liberal and that kind of stuff. He said that a gentleman, and a gentleman for him is something like we would say a brahmana as a kind of cultural ideal. And he said a gentleman is not for this or that party. He simply takes a stand with the truth. You know, and anyway. thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Next Vyasa Puja offering for Jayadvaita Swami. I'll quote that.
I'll send you the direct quote. That was a paraphrase. Yeah. Thanks, Mark.
Okay.
Appreciate the
okay. Talk. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Govardhan Bhaktadas.
Okay, we'll see you in 2 weeks at your home. Looking forward to the week or?
This week. Next Saturday.
What's that? Next Saturday.
It's coming.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. Yes, next Saturday at your home. Thank you. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hari Bol, welcome back to USA.
Thank you, Mother Indrani. Nice to hear you.
Maybe I'll write this time.
Please, please do. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, you said to do that for you. Hare Bol.
Maharaj, did you get my email?
Which email?
The last one.
What did you say?
Okay, I'll send you another one.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
And Maharaj, just one thing, and I wanted to just, what Mahamuni was talking. None of our acharyas took a dog as a pet, but the compassion was different. Like, it reminded me of Bharat Maharaj taking a deer, he had to take another bird.
Yeah. Well, that really is going to bring us to a deeper understanding, which I don't think we have to understand now, because one acharya becomes attached to a dog and it's glorified. Another one is attached to a dog and he's condemned. So we'll go deeper and deeper in the understanding. Okay. Maybe next we'll discuss that. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. Thank you all. Thank you for continuing to continue to do this.